Hello, this is Dr. Adam Splaver with the Warrior Health Podcast. And today I'm going to be speaking to you about erectile dysfunction. Yeah, I know, this is a sensitive subject, erectile dysfunction. Guys don't usually like talking about it, especially when it comes to relationships. It can be kind of a point of frustration, a point of anxiety, and even depression. So one of the things that I experience as a cardiologist is I actually get a number of my patients who come in complaining of erectile dysfunction. And it's not only the men who actually are coming in and complaining, but actually it's even their partners, their wives are coming in and actually complaining that there's a problem in the bedroom. And this problem really is a very big one, because it messes up and interferes with your ability to connect with your lover, with your inability to express yourself emotionally, spiritually, physically, to the person that you love. And it can actually be a point of great contention. So why are people coming to me as a cardiologist? Why are they coming to me as a heart doctor to discuss this very sensitive issue? Well, it's quite interesting. If you think about it, in order for someone to have an erection, they have to have good blood flow, because that really is what is behind having an erection. It has to do with the variation of blood flow down to the penis, and it can be affected by cardiovascular disease. It can be affected by atherosclerosis. It can be affected by microvascular disease, or disease of the smaller vessels that feed the sex organs. And for me, as a cardiologist, many times this is the first manifestation of atherosclerosis. This is the first clinical presentation that someone has a blood flow problem. So why is this a big deal? Why is this a problem? Well, if you go back and you look in terms of atherosclerosis, if you look at coronary artery disease, if you look at stroke, if you look at blocked arteries, typically people don't have symptoms. They don't have any signs that they are actually having disease. And the first things really to show up are the little things. I mean, think about it. In order to have sex, you have to be relaxed. You have to be calm. I mean, yes, things can get quite heat and heavy and hot and heavy, and you can get excited. But from an evolutionary perspective, if you're being chased by a bear, you ain't having sex. You're not procreating. You're not going to be making love with your girlfriend or your wife or your partner. So that's the first thing to go when you're having issues with basic bodily functions. It's almost like the fight or flight reaction. So if you're having coronary artery disease, if you're having other systemic problems of disease, like an inflammation, then the body's need to reproduce is put on the back burner. The body's ability to reproduce is put on the back burner, because the body's main role is survival. And so if you have blocked arteries in the heart and blocked arteries in the neck, then it really doesn't matter if you're procreating, because chances are you won't be able to, because you won't be able to, I hate to use the pun, but rise to the occasion to actually do the deed. So as a cardiologist, when I have a patient complaining to me about that they have erectile dysfunction, this actually is a red flag. It tells me that there might be something else going on from a cardiovascular perspective. There may be something going on with a blood flow perspective. And with that, will enable me or convince me that I need to work this patient up, looking for other signs and symptoms of atherosclerosis, looking at their carotid arteries. Those are the arteries that go from the aorta up to the brain, that feed the brain. Looking at the heart, doing a stress test, or doing a coronary calcium score, CT angiography, or even in some circumstances, an angiogram. So these symptoms need to be addressed. These symptoms need to be looked at. These symptoms are extremely worrisome and bothersome, because not only do they take a psychological toll, but also a physical toll. And so erectile dysfunction is something that we need to really take very seriously. Think about it. If you're a diabetic, one of the biggest problems as a diabetic is that you cause microvascular disease, microvascular problems, or small vessel blockages. And that's basically one of the biggest feeders into an erection, is the small vessels. If you have blocked small vessels, you ain't having an erection. So again, looking at patients who have this issue, the first thing that comes to mind is, could this patient possibly have vascular problems? And as such, actually, believe it or not, it can actually save your life. So the lack of erection, I'm telling you, this actually could be put on a big poster. You know, see it on the highway. You know, the inability for you to have an erection could possibly save your life. Because if it causes you to go to your doctor and he finds that you, or she finds that you have other evidence of atherosclerosis, hey, you can possibly correct, reverse, or stop it from progressing. Also, when we see patients who have erectile dysfunction, you know, less seriously, are patients who have hormonal disruptions. And we see this all the time, especially as men get older. There are a lot of men who have low testosterone and high estrogen, which is almost the yin and the yang we're seeing in our metabolism. What happens is your body, men's bodies for that matter, produce testosterone in the testes. And that testosterone's job is to not only help with sex, it's also help with metabolism, to help with memory, mood, as well as sleep, as well as other metabolic processes. Well, testosterone is in a class of chemicals or compounds that are called steroids. And they are, like any other chemical compound, have the ability to be manipulated, changed, almost like a tinker toy set. You can take off, you know, a stick here, a wheel over there, and you can reconfigure. Well, that's what happens with testosterone in the body. Testosterone actually gets metabolized into different metabolites, DHT, dihydroxytestosterone. It can even, believe it or not, be changed into estrogen. Whoa. Estrogen, what are you talking about, Adam? Estrogen is like the major hormone of women. Well, I've seen some men whose estrogen levels are higher than their testosterone levels. And you'd think to yourself, like, wait, what's going on here? How could that possibly be? Well, the reason why is there's this little enzyme that lives in your body, specifically, mainly lives inside adipose tissue or fat tissue. So guys, if you have that beer belly or that dad bod, you probably have a lot of this enzyme running around. And it's changing your testosterone, your male-defining hormone, into estradiol. And many times you'll see men who are overweight in their mid-40s or 50s or even 60s, and you'll see that their estrogen levels are like 200, 300, and their testosterone levels are like 100, which is something that could be quite alarming, especially if you're the guy who has it, because it messes up with your metabolism and encourages you to gain weight, as well as messes up with your sex life, your mood, as well as your ability to concentrate and sleep. So patients who do have erectile dysfunction are those that also we need to look at their hormones. And again, I don't take this lightly. I think that when you do venture into that territory, it's extremely important that you go to someone who knows what they're doing. One of my teachers had taught me that when you mess with hormones, it's tantamount to taking a rock and throwing it into a still pond. And you see those ripples going everywhere. Because when you're dealing with hormone replacement therapy, you have to, one, understand what caused the hormones to be out of whack. Many times, a lot of doctors will not look at why the hormones are out of whack. They will not look at secreting hormones that are made by the pituitary. They won't look at other types of hormones that possibly could be preventing the pituitary from producing those secreting hormones. They do not look at other factors like estrogen. So many guys who I've seen come to my office on hormone replacement therapy and no one's ever checked an estrogen level. When they're on, you know, replacement hormones and their estrogen levels are still high and their testosterone levels are low. And that's because, lo and behold, they had this crazy enzyme, you know, aromatase that's converting whatever testosterone we're giving and whatever testosterone they're making into estrogen. So, you know, if you're able to pinpoint why someone's testosterone levels are low, and why their estrogen levels may be high or other secreting hormones may be off, then you can actually know the proper treatment, because there are multiple ways one can treat low testosterone. Specifically, you know, it's more than just here's your box of Androgel or some form of topical steroid or injectable. There are ways of dealing with it that might be more appropriate. There are ways to actually convince the testes to make more testosterone by giving a pill, like clomiphene citrate, or giving an injection like chorionic gonadotropin, otherwise known as HCG. So those are a couple of other ways, as well as you can give a medicine to block that enzyme that causes the conversion of testosterone into estrogen. It It's called, there's a name of a medicine called anastrozole that comes under a trade name. There are a couple other medications out there that you can actually use. But the big one out there is anastrozole, which actually, if your estrogen levels are high, your testosterone levels are low, and all your secreting hormones are fine, you just give that one little pill, and it'll actually raise your testosterone by preventing its conversion, preventing it from being metabolized, preventing it from being rebuilt in the Tinker Toy sense into estrogen. So again, if you're going to go to someone to replace your hormones, make sure they know what they're doing. There are a number of websites you can actually look at, specifically A4M.com, letter A, the number 4, letter M.com has a great website. They can actually point in the right direction for people who understand hormone replacement therapy, not only for men, but also for women. There are a number of functional medicine doctors out there that have a very good idea of how to do with it. Unfortunately or fortunately, there are different ways one can look at these levels. And I think I spoke about this previously, that there are a number of normal values. When you go to the lab and you get your lab results, you see that these normal values range, for example, with testosterone, it ranges between 250 and let's say 1,000. That may be one normal value from one lab. And if you think about it, what's 250 for a total testosterone? That may be normal for a 99-year-old man. And when you have a 40-year-old guy sitting across the table from you and you ask him, hey, listen, you know, guess what? Your testosterone is normal for a 99-year-old male. Well, how do you feel about that? Most guys are not going to feel terribly happy. And I wouldn't either. Because honestly, I think I would want to have my testosterone levels optimized to someone who's in their 30s or 40s. So that way you can, you know, act age appropriate from a metabolism, from a concentration, from a mood, as well as from a sex perspective, a libido perspective. So again, I caution you, if you're going on to hormone replacement therapy, go to someone who knows what they're doing. There are those traditionalists who will say that you're completely normal if your testosterone level falls in that range between 250 and 1,000. Unfortunately, they don't subscribe to the idea that that normal range is a normal range from people aged 18 to 99. And that has to also be taken into perspective, at least from my viewpoint, as well as many other functional medicine doctors. Or doctors that work through A4M. And that's really the big part of erectile dysfunction that can be corrected. I do also have some patients that, believe it or not, there's nothing wrong from a physical perspective. Their blood flow is fine. Their hormones are okay. But psychologically, they've checked out. Psychologically, they're not connecting with their partner. They're not connecting with their loved one. And that's a big problem because, you know, sex is more than just the physical. I mean, you can get friction from anywhere. But if you're not getting the emotional and the spiritual connection that goes along with this, you may not necessarily be in the mood. You may not necessarily be in the groove to actually have relations. And that's something else I've explored with a number of my patients. I had one woman complain to me that her husband hasn't touched her in 9 months. And when we got down to it, it turns out he's just been depressed. The guy's been, you know, anxious and depressed, and he can't perform because he's just not interested. So, you know, that's another thing you need to look into. You know, what's the person's psychological background? What's their psychological state when approaching this subject? Because it's a very sensitive subject. No pun intended. It's something that needs to be looked into on multiple levels, not just here's your hormones or here's your Viagra, which also is something that one can use to treat erectile dysfunction using sildenafil or tadalafil. There are a couple of other ones on the market. They work. They work great. But, you know, if you can get to the root cause of why these things aren't working, then you should possibly, you know, consider, you know, looking elsewhere. There are other things that you can use in your diet to help supplement these natural substances that help you dilate your vessels. Anything with that helps you produce NO, like arginine. There are those that take L-arginine. It's a supplement to help increase blood flow. There's actually a supplement on the market that comes from beets. Beets have a lot of L-arginine in it to help you produce NO, or nitric oxide, to help you vasodilate. Those are on the market. You see them probably in 7-Eleven or the gas stations as well. Some of them work, some of them don't. Can't really tell you from a medical legal perspective what to use, because none of these things can have actually any medical claims. At the end of the day, there are a number of options that you can use to help in this area. And with that, I'm Dr. Adam Splaver, talking to you about the very sensitive subject of erectile dysfunction. Have an awesome day. Looking forward to seeing you next week.